With Muhajir now in military custody, we called on Duke University law professor Scott Silliman to find out what kind of legal rights he's entitled to. Silliman says at this point, it's still unclear.
Up until today, he was being treated as an American citizen, ostensibly facing criminal charges, and as with any other American citizen, he had the full panoply of constitutional rights that would work towards a trial in federal district court. The fact that he's been turned over to military officials at Charleston makes it a little bit difficult because under military control, he would not necessarily be entitled to a lawyer until he was facing some type of specific charge. But the more troubling question is, why was he even turned over to military control in the first place?
Why do you think he was?
Well, I think there was this conclusion that because he was captured at Chicago O'Hare Airport, ostensibly as part of an Al-Qaeda plan to detonate a nuclear or a dirty radiological bomb, I think it is, that somehow that became an act of war and that he could be treated as a combatant. And the initial reports coming out of the administration seem to rely on some of the language in the Supreme Court's opinion in the Kieran case back in 1940s. That's the German saboteur case, 1942, where the question of American citizenship of the saboteurs was raised. But the Supreme Court really sidestepped the issue and indicated that in a time of war, a time of declared war, one's American citizenship does not relieve one of the consequences of being a belligerent. But we don't really know that this young man was a belligerent yet. From what I understand, the plan was not fully executed. He was not bringing into the country any radiological weapons or materials. So it's going to be a very troubling case for the administration to deal with from here on out.
Under what grounds, then, can they hold him, and how long?
Well, I can't answer the question of how long, because surely his attorney, who he had in New York, while he was being detained by the Department of Justice, is going to try to get access to him. And my guess would be there would be a petition filed in federal district court very shortly to basically have him released from military custody and to be charged and brought before a judge one way or the other. So, again, it's puzzling to me as far as why the administration chose to turn him over to the military, where by definition he could not be prosecuted by a military commission. He's an American citizen, therefore he's outside the scope of the president's November 13th order, nor would he be subject to charges under Article 104 or 106 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice by a court-martial. So if he's in the hands of the military and the military has no vehicle upon which to prosecute him, the administration seems to be in a legal quagmire.
Is it possible that this could follow the same pattern as John Walker Lind? Different circumstances. He was arrested in Afghanistan, and when they found out he was a U.S. citizen, he's going to be tried in the federal court system. Why not the same thing for Muhajir?
Well, and that's what one would have expected. This case paralleled in many ways, Leon, the Richard Reid case, the shoe bomber who was caught trying to detonate the explosives on the aircraft. It's ironic that Zachariah Moussaoui, who was caught in this country as a resident alien, has more rights afforded him in our federal district courts than the administration is claiming they want to give this young man who they just caught last May. So, again, there's a certain confusion that exists right now. I would have supposed that the administration, having caught him on U.S. soil, having detained him for at least 30 days in the justice system, would have charged him with federal charges and prosecuted him just as Moussaoui, just as Richard Reid, just as Walker Lind. The American citizenship would track with Walker Lind. So I'm as puzzled as many are on why the administration chose to turn him over to the military.
Professor Silliman, thank you very much.
Thanks, Leon.
Scott Silliman is the executive director of the Center for Law, Ethics, and National Security at Duke University.